So it's interesting to hear about what was going on there, you know, at that time. I mean, from people who were actually there. And
this is a bar I really don't like from the policies of international policy of this country.
Yeah.
How, no matter, the most important for them is the is interest. That's how
it's the economic interest.
Yeah,
yeah.
The economic interest, no matter where the people, they don't care about the human people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was remember when they opened this center in Honduras, they call I forget the name. Crane. It's the center to the training army people, no?
Uh-huh.
And
is this part of like the School of the Americas? Because that's they had trainings. That was maybe earlier in the 60s. They had a lot of trainings.
Yeah, I'm not sure this part.
Yeah.
But there's the problem is, you know what happened? They opened the center, and they used the lamps, and the guys, USA citizen guys, in Honduras, and as they do that, they make a, how to say, they put a suit against the Honduran government. And this time, I don't know how to say, the government here gave some million of dollars to Honduras.
Right, gave money to support the training.
Yeah, but the guys bring the case of the court here in this country. And then finally the court, they... the decision is in favor of him. But when they give the money to the government, they deduct about $40 million to pay of this guy. How do you say?
Yeah.
I think it's a law. What do you call it?
Law?
Law?
Law.
Yeah. Yeah. They give it to Honduras about 60, 90, or 100 million.
Yeah.
But when the final decision on the court, but there's American guys in Honduras.
Uh-huh.
He lived there.
Right.
He have a reason in this case. He deducts this $40 million from the money.
From the money that was given.
To
yeah.
And the Honduras had to pay.
Wow. And so what was the case? Let me make sure I understand that first part. I understand what you're saying at the end.
Yeah.
But you're saying that someone brought a case against?
Yeah, because the power, the land, they use it to put this center trainer is the guys, Puerto Rican guys.
It was his land?
His land.
Yeah.
And they say, why? You abuse, you take my land.
Yeah.
And he put a suit against the Honduran government.
Got you.
You understand that?
Yeah.
And he get the money. And who put the military, the army guys there? The same, this government, because they don't respect nothing. But they want to appear, and they say the American city, the government protect the interest of the American city, and they give them money. I don't believe that's what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So then all of that must have been affecting you as you were going about your work.
Oh, yeah, really, because I think... well, I think it's danger, but I think I say... and how I can live if I support, I can suffer this situation. I say, I had to fight. I had to be organized with the group, because we need to, if you don't fight, you don't get the respect. And the abuse still continues. In my country, in Latin America, same situation. No matter who's government.
Yeah. So, you would have been, where were you at that point then, by like 1987 when you first came over? Where were you living at that time?
I live in San Pedro Sula. In the hotel, because the hotel is there. In San Pedro Sula, I was working. And I had to leave the job because they make very I think they persecute me. They see there, I have a really danger, because sometimes I, some guys, army guys, they watch my home, and I, because I live in a small building, in the second plan, sometimes, because I know, I hear before how another guys they kill. Sometimes I have to go back by the window of my apartment and go for, to another side, because I have to be
to
take care of my, for myself.
To be care,
yeah.
To take precautions.
Yes.
Yeah. So was your place being watched there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they.
How long did you know that that you were kind of under surveillance?
Well, I think. I think more about 1 year, more than 1 year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I was I was half of the guys, the partner from another union.
Uh-huh.
He was very good.
Yeah.
Really wonderful organizer,
yeah.
And finally he gave. He put the police. The army, they put in jail many times,
yeah.
And they,
they
abuse,
torture him.
Yeah, many torture.
Yeah.
And finally, he died about that.
Yeah.
And this is a guy. He advised to me: you have to be careful when you drive, when you walk.
Oh, yeah.
You every time you watch in your neighborhood,
yeah.
In the corner. Well, you to be a familiar with the people.
Yeah.
If you be any stranger, you be careful.
Yeah. Okay.
You be careful.
Yeah.
And actually they asked, they put if you be a member, union member,
yeah.
Very activist,
yeah.
They put in a, they call the blacklist.
The blacklist.
Yeah. You can get a job.
Mm.
You can get a job in the country. Nobody can give a job to you.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I start to work in a, I get the contract with the company chief.
Mm-hmm. Had you actually been blacklisted there? I mean, did you lose your job, or were you able to keep your job at the hotel?
No, finally I quit, because I see the dangers against me. Because I really scared they, they possibly they can come to kill me.
At the hotel, or just generally? Yeah.
Not in the hotel, but I mean.
Yeah. But I guess what I mean is, were you, by working at the hotel, were you in danger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your job there, were you, what were you doing exactly at the hotel?
I work in a, what is it, a store room.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you had a position there, but you would have been active in that same union that it was, so.
Yeah.
The setting then
mm-hmm.
would be.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Actually, the most scare I have, because the army guys be a very powerful in Honduras. They create the bank.
Uh-huh.
They actually right now they have a large inversion in a industry,
uh-huh.
And they come and be a part with the hotel. They have a action in the hotel. They buy.
Uh-huh.
They are owner of the hotel, and there's more.
So they you say they bought? Am I hearing you right?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah,
an
they
action?
Get association with the.
Uh-huh. So
the
they
hotel.
Got into association with the hotel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now, all the time you see.
Yeah.
Army people there.
So then that must have been really unsafe.
Yeah.
No wonder you left.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's scary. Did your family know that you were a union organizer?
Mm.
Yeah. Were they worried for your safety?
Oh, yeah. They know. Like, actually, right now, when I talk by the phone to my brother,
yeah.
I say I'm working in an organization of safety and health, very similar with the union there. And he told me, why you still like that? He said, why you still like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, I say this. This as I like it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
Not run.
I don't run when I decide to come and embark.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I come in the union, I'm really blaming about what happened in my country.
You're really blank? Are you saying blanking?
When I say blank?
Blank, you're forgetting?
No. I can see the reality.
Yeah, you can see that.
Blind or blank?
Oh, blind, being blank. Blind to...
About the reality of my country, really.
Yeah, you were at that time, is that what you're saying, or now?
No.
No, I'm confused. Yeah.
Before I involved in the movement.
I see. Okay, before you got involved, you were fairly blind to what was going on in your country. Yeah.
And we have several people in my country with this situation because they don't know. They're not political, they're not clear exactly.
Right. Right.
And this is a reason they're not fine because they are. It's okay if they're waiting to the. All is coming from the government. And now I'm in my country, any government, they don't care what happened with the people. Just they go to the interest to protect his interest. Who's coming to the government? All the guys, rich people. No. The poor people, I never can get a position to be a government.
Right. So when you came in 87, you say you were blacklisted, or had you tried to get other jobs and you weren't able to get them, or what does blacklisted mean in Honduras? It has a particular meaning here.
Yeah, in the company.
Yeah.
If you go to looking for the job, if you say and this is my name, where are you working before? I work in that. If they have this, you can get a job.
So they would have been able to find out about you. Yeah.
Only if you do something by yourself, business, something like that. But if you go to the company to find the job, you can. They don't give you a job. And once my friend, he say, if you want to work in a passenger ship, I don't have idea what does I mean that. And I can get a contract with the company. And he get. And I get a visa and I come to work in Miami, from Miami to the Caribbean. But it's just, I support the situation because I need the job to survive, but it's the huge exploitation I never see in the world.
Even worse than you'd experienced?
Oh, it's really more bad.
Wow.
So bad because in this ship you have you have only responsibilities, but you don't have a right. Just to get salary, that's it. You don't have a right to protest, you don't have a right to nothing. Just you work unlimited hours, then you don't get overtime. This is a huge industry in this country. And they exploited people from around the world. Because they bring from Africa, Asia, Central America, stuff everywhere. And they're exploited. With the permission of the government of this country. Really. No matter, the most important is the business.
Well, and there's no, I'm assuming they're not unionized, those folks
no.
over there. Plus, they would be international, right? No?
Some company, they have a union, but two or three.
Yeah.
And they have several companies.
Did you try to unionize while you were working on the ship?
I was having a conversation with the group of people, but I was remember that last year I worked in this company. I talked, we was having about three meetings, clandestine meetings we tried to, but I think it's really hard because the union sometimes they come into the port to give a flyer to the passenger saying, you know what happened with this fella? Oh, years ago they try and they don't get unionized. I think
too hard to unionize in that setting, maybe. Well, how long did you work there for the
from 1987 to 92.
To 92.
That's the
so
final.
5 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a really hell when I still there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I never went back the kind of job because you're working 12 or 14 hours
yeah.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were on a, were you on a visa that whole time or just initially? The whole time? Did you?
Yeah, every,
yeah.
because I go back to my
career.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then how did you end up coming to, from Miami to North Carolina?
No, I come,
yeah,
when I just, when I no working more in the chip, I stay sometime in Miami and I go to San Francisco, California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 96, I decided to come here.
Uh-huh. Now, in the little booklet that I read about you, you have some family in, is it New York and California?
In California, in San Francisco, I have a several relatives, like a cousin or something like that.
Uh-huh. Did you go out there in part because you had family, or?
Yeah, this is the reason I moved from Miami, and they say, come to here, which can share the jobs, or which, but.
What kind of reception did you get in San Francisco? What kind of response did you get from people coming into the community?
I don't get involved in the community in California because I have a really hard job. I work by the night.
Yeah.
I work all night.
Yeah. Where were you working?
In a restaurant.
In a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I clean a restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard job because of that. You work by the night.
Yeah.
And. I hear about the organization. I was remember because I was living in California and Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
They are very close.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
And I hear about the organization, how they work and how they do it with migrant people.
Mm-hmm.
We have several organizations there,
mm-hmm.
and a big organization.
Right.
But I don't get a chance because I am more worried to get the job. To get money and send money on my family.
Because you were you sending money back when you were on the cruise ship too? Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So then, how long were you in San Francisco?
And from. Yeah, it's, well, in Miami, I spent most time, about 3 or 4 months, from 92 to 90. No, I'm. Yeah, I'm San Francisco, I come in 94.
Yeah, okay.
2 years, in 96 I come in here.
I see,
yeah.
So you had 5 years in Miami, 2 years out there.
Yeah, but I'm Miami's...
Did you go back to Honduras?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that to go back after working?
It's good. This is the reason I keep in this job, because I can go every year to my country. I see my family.
How did you end up, or why did you end up coming from San Francisco to North Carolina?
Well, because I see the situation in California. It's not good. You don't have much opportunity about the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I was, first of all, I worked in a restaurant cleaning, and after I decided, well, this job was not good for me. I'm looking for the job, and I get the job in a big company. Movie duplication, like tape duplication. Yes.
Huh.
They are huge. We get thousand and thousand tape by the day, and because they say, well, you one as a supervisor say, do you speak English? You can work like a crew leader, and they give me the. When I begin, they pay me $5.50 an hour.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Work. And after they give me the position of crew leader, they give me $6.
Uh-huh.
That's all I get.
Uh-huh. 50 cents more.
Yeah, I get. I work in more than 1 year, and I not see how I can get increase my salary. And I say, well, and I hear around me all the people same situation.
Uh-huh.
And they say, well, I think I need to move from California. And I want to stay no more. And there's one, my friend, he lost the job, and he say, well, he have some relative here. Mm-hmm. And he say, if you want to go, we can go to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Well, I was remember another friend, he told me about he going to move to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. He say, my sister, he live there and she have a good job. Her husband have a good job. We can go there. And I like idea. Mm-hmm. But this friend say, we can go to North Carolina. I know he knew nothing about the North Carolina. I said, well. And he told me, his wife is here. She was here. And she one day, he spoke by the phone, and I get to speak with her. And she say, why are you not coming here? She say, I get a job about 3 blocks from my home in a factory. She say, I don't need a car, I don't need to just walk. And it's easy to get a job here. And I say, well, I don't have nothing to lose. I'm going to try. And this is in 1996, I come here.
Well, now, when you were in California, there was a lot going on, a lot of anti-immigration legislation that was starting to go on.
Yes.
What was your response to that? Because Proposition 187.
Yes. Ooh, yes. I think when the Proposition 187, I have about 5 or 6 months to come in San Francisco. Uh-huh. That's the reason why I just only hear about, I read in the newspaper or watching the TV. Uh-huh. But my understanding, when I was read the history of this country, I read a little bit, uh-huh. In this country, the Constitution is first. Uh-huh. And many of these people, I say that. Uh-huh. If the 187 win an election, but I don't think this proposition is coming, uh-huh. really if the organization go to the court. Uh-huh. But I say this is a good part, but the problem is how the policy from the governor's office and the feeling of the people, because many American people there, they really hate Latino people.
Did you have experiences that brought that home to you, things that happened there?
Well, it's not personal with me, but I hear. And I see, because I met a lot of people with the skills in the job, but they never get the progress, good salary, good position, no matter they speak English.
So people who were being discriminated against on the job, is that what you're saying? They weren't able to move up? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's happened anywhere, but it's more frequently in this case in California. Uh-huh. Yeah. Not only in California, because if you go close to the border, that's happened in Texas, California, and other states.
The relations are different, probably strained because of that border relationship.
Yeah.
So what did you think of North Carolina when you arrived here? What happened when you first arrived?
When I come here, I see. Oh, I say, well, because I was living in San Francisco and mm-hmm. in Oakland, they have a lot of crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oakland is high crime.
Stolen car and everything you can see in this area. When I come in here, I'm surprised when I see sometimes the car is with the window is open. Mm-hmm. I say, well, this day is very. Very safe because mm-hmm. the people leave the window open. Mm-hmm. Well, this is in the beginning, but I, after 3 months, I hear about the crime, the assaults against the Latinos people. And I say, well, but I think it's a son that's different. It's not the same situation like California, because it's the case, and the issue is very huge there. And I think because here is in a small group, criminals coming to use the crimes against the Latino.
So you're saying it's a small group that's making crime against the Latino,
yeah.
Not a larger,
yeah.
Kind of. It's not like a statewide anti.
Well, we have a. Yeah. I think we have a crime endurance against everybody, not only against Latino, but as it's not. I think it's about the bigger of the city. The bigger the city, more bigger the problem. This is our reason, I think. And this is our reason when I come and involve with Luis to create Casa Multicultural, because we hear, we come in some meeting in the Hispanic Center and we hear about the crime, but we don't see the response from the city or from the police department. And I think the problem here is because the city or the state, they don't really worry to improve strict laws to eradicate it.
So what do you think, can you repeat that last part? You say the city or the...
Or the state.
Yeah, the state.
They really don't worry to do something to resolve this problem.
Right, so they're not taking enough steps, is what you're saying, to resolve it.
Yes,
yeah.
You have the case like a... housing issue.
Right.
It's the parents, the problem with the crime.
That the housing and the crime are linked, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Because where is the Latino going to rent? It's the more cheap area, because and where is the people, if you see the like a group of young people coming to use or sell drugs.
Right.
Are from here. They are very close all the time, close with the Latino person.
Yeah.
And that's a reason the Latino are targeted from this, these people.
Yeah. How do you feel about how the experience of living here as a Latino versus San Francisco in terms of like the discrimination issues? I mean, it sounds like you're saying crime and housing are a problem and they're not being addressed.
Yeah.
But how's your experience been here in terms of how you've been treated on the job or, you know, just generally?
Well, I think I don't see no much change. Maybe I try to be understand. Here we don't see much discrimination because here they need it. Latino work.
I see.
And this is a reason in the future.
Right.
Maybe in 10 or 15 years, we're going to have a same situation like California.
Do you think it's likely that there will be? Or?
Oh, more as possible.
Yeah.
I think so.
Are there ways that you think that could be changed? Could the story unfold differently?
Yeah, it's possible. But I think it's at the time, our time, the organization, maybe we can make the difference.
Yeah.
If we're working close.
Right.
Together,
with
African American, with another groups too, not only with African American. But I think it's because African American, they are in the same situation with us. They are minority and the poor people, like Latino.
And how does that affect the relationship between the two?
Between Latino and African American? Ah, yeah. I think it affect because sometimes the African American they see us with we coming to replace in a workplace, maybe in a housing too, and as in a society. I don't know what I think with this, but I guess it's important. We need to be together and talk, because if we unite, maybe we can change. We have a power, but I guess I think this is a hard part. Well, I think we have a good relation between organizers of both groups, because I met a lot of African American, and I really, for me, it's wonderful to meet these people, and they understand very clear the point of the problem. But I guess we need to transmit to the rest of the community.
That's a really good point. So people are coming together on a leadership level, but not necessarily on the community level.
Yes.
What steps do you think would need to happen in order for the people to come together on that community level?
I think it's a good question, because I don't think I have the right answer. Mm-hmm. But maybe I can. I think this is good if we still continues with the communication between organization and both community, but with the intention to go ahead, how can bring together this the both community can understand it, that we are in the same situation.
That's what leaders out in African American and Latino communities in California have talked about, that there needs to be bridges built, because there's a lot of common ground.
That's what happens there. Sometimes they get support from one of the issues, like I hear about in Los Angeles, some African American organization coming together with the Latin organization to get some change in the community. And I read that's happened too in Chicago. Many Latino with African American organization doing something, and they get successful.
So there are then some examples of where people are coming together.
And I think actually this is I read about in Chicago that's happened a few years ago, about 20 years ago. Actually, Mexican with the Puerto Rican day. They don't want to come together, and they are both Hispanic. But when the problem is coming, huge problem against both, they united. And after they come in with the African American, and they have a successful in some neighborhoods with housing issue. This is our rate.
So that could be a model here. Maybe we could talk in terms of the time. How are you on time? Are you okay to go a little bit longer still? There were a couple things I wanted to touch on. Or are we getting too late here?
We can stay here. Or maybe I can go 10 minutes to 7.
Okay, great. Because that would be, another half an hour? Do you say 10 minutes to 7?
Yeah.
To 7 o'clock?
Oh, 7 o'clock is okay.
Half an hour from now is great. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
The two areas that I thought it would be nice to cover would be, maybe since we're talking about this, we could talk about how your work here is similar to or different from what you were doing in Honduras.
Because
your brother says to you, you're still doing that, you know. And maybe talk about your work with CASA. And then also, I was interested to know, were you granted political asylum to be here? I'd like to talk about that, because that's not always easy to secure. My sister has worked in sort of immigration issues, trying to help people to get, asylum and things like that, and to fight immigration law. She was saying, that's not always easy to do. So I was interested to hear more about that piece of your story, how you managed to do that.
Well, I think the detention.
Yeah. Is it okay, or do you want me to turn it off?
Yes.
Yes, turn it off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got your asylum, your political asylum, then in 95 before the laws changed,
yes.
Which, as we were saying, is very fortunate.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that means you are now a U.S. citizen, yeah, or permanent resident.
Yeah.
Both.
No. I came because I need to pass. I
can
apply for the citizen.
Yeah.
I had to wait after 5 years of permanent residence.
Got you. Okay.
And after I apply.
Yeah.
And I hear the rumor they want to increase the time. Maybe they want to put for, had to wait for 8 years.
Be
a resident to apply for the citizen.
You know, I know someone who I interviewed on a project. Actually, he's in prison right now. It's a project I've been doing in the prison. And he never became a U.S. citizen. He's been here for 17 years. And it's because he didn't want to lose his Mexican citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me curious about the relationships people have with their own countries, about how much someone wants to be a U.S. citizen and how much they want to maintain their own citizenship. Do you have a feeling either way? I mean, how do you feel about being a U.S. citizen when you have this strong link to Honduras still?
Well, it's a... That's a... I don't have a... How to answer the question is... I think my vision is a totally different when the people think about this citizenship. Because which one I want to keep in if you decide to be a citizen in this country? Because many of the... Now, with the laws of the immigration, the people that be a citizen, they can lose the citizen if they involved in some crime, and they can get deportation too.
Yeah.
But many of us, people we are here is. It's really hard if you go back to your country, not only for the economic situation too, because when the times pass and pass there, the situation is coming more difficult. And what do you do if you still doing, you still organizer. If you go back to your country and try to do this, put in practice to organizers, it's really dangerous too.
So for you to ever go back in that way, to go back to really live. How was it to go back to visit? Were you okay?
No, it's okay. It's okay. I can go. But if I back, if I want to involve in an organization like a union, something like that, I think it's going to be a danger again. And because the policy of the government, they don't change. If you doing, if you try to do something to change the situation, you are the enemy of the government. But I think, my understanding, if I live in really good condition with my family, in my job, it's the country I want to be there.
So if you could be there, you would be there.
Yeah, but if I can have my family, and in safe condition, and we can have a food, home, something like that. No matter if I can, if this situation, I can have this here in this country, it's okay for me.
So if you could have your family here, so you're okay. So it's okay for you being here, is what you're saying.
No matter where's my, if I resident or citizen, but if we can stay together in a really good situation. It's good for me.
So it sounds like it's less your identification with Honduras as much as it is your family, if I'm reading you right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't do in the world what you do here,
yeah,
for work and your,
yeah,
activism, mm-hmm, et cetera. So
this is a part I really like here. Mm-hmm. Because it's the first time I get to pay for the job.
You're getting paid for what you're doing all the time now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How did you manage to land here at NCASH?
Well,
yeah,
yes and no. I was have a meeting with NCASH Multicultural, uh-huh, and Luis invited Tom,
uh-huh,
because he met Tom. And when I talked with Tom, because Tom, he spent some time in Nicaragua, Honduras, and I tell him, well, when somebody introduced to me, I say, I was labor union in Honduras. Oh, he said, in Honduras, yeah. Well, it's good to, because we look in some person, he told me, with this skills, organize union, something like that, because we planning to organize a group with the Latino, because we have several people coming in our office to looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired me for part-time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
In March was 98, they hired me,
mm-hmm,
for part-time, and after in October last year I get full time.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what kinds of work do you do here
with NCASH? My specific job is to develop Latino Working Association of North Carolina, to organize Latino,
uh-huh,
workers,
uh-huh,
because several of these people is coming with a complaint.
Uh-huh.
But there's only one thing I had to do, because when we get a lot of people coming to make a complaint,
mm-hmm,
like for wages and hours,
mm-hmm,
safety in the workplace, or workers' compensation too.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly in a construction area, we have several problems, because if some Latino workers, most specific, get injuries, many of these. Some companies and a contractor too, they know, wanna give the basic right to use workers' compensation, because this is by the law. The law say if the employers have more than 5 workers in an industry area, have to provide workers' compensation. And we have this problem. Many people ask, they come in 3 months, after 6 months, they get injuries, and many of these contractors or the company, sometimes they get doctor's recommendation. He can work, he had to work light duty. And this company, many of these contractors, they say, well, you come in here, you stay in the office, and we pay all week full, like no matter if you don't work. But you know what happened? They know one the case be a reported to the industrial commission.
Uh-huh.
And what happened in the future, if you get injured, permanent injury, you can make a complaint, because you lose your right when you come into work to the office every day, no matter if you work, because they know. They don't make a report.
So they don't make a report
to the industrial commission.
To the industrial. You mean the company doesn't,
yeah,
make a report? Yeah.
Well, suppose by the workers' compensation lab, say,
yeah,
the company can fill it up the form,
right,
19,
right,
and the workers have to fill it up form 18.
Yeah.
And Latino people, they don't know that form, yeah, exists.
Yeah.
They don't know that. And this is a,
yeah,
part of my job. I had to, we make workshops,
right,
to try to explain what did the law say,
uh-huh,
what is the his rights, no matter what is the legal situation.
So trying to help them to understand their rights so that they,
yeah,
know when they're with.
But
their rights.
we encourage to these people to be groups organized too.
Uh-huh.
because it's not enough.
Right.
Do you know your rights?
Yes.
The right is there,
workers.
But you
yeah.
have to fight
yes.
to have your rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're trying to help organize the workers.
Yeah.
Actually. In actual unions, are you trying to help do a union?
We have a relation
yeah.
with some unions, like
yeah.
U.S.